Hello and welcome to the PMQ live update for Friday, May 8th. I'm Brian Hernandez, as always. Maybe next week I'll change my name to something else like Todd Johnson. Who knows? But today I'm Brian Hernandez, and I'm joined by David Sawicki of Voices Teleservice. Dave, say hi to the world.
Hi, everybody. Hope you're doing well.
So I wanted to talk with David today because Voice Teleservices, they are a call center, and they're based domestically here in the United States with a couple call centers. But there was something I really kind of wanted to talk to him about because everybody's getting ready to reopen now. And some of these places might not be set up for the influx of phone calls you're going to get. I mean, you got your online ordering and stuff like that, but phone calls are still pretty much, they're still the most popular way for people to reach out and get their orders placed. Now, if you don't have enough phones, you might be missing orders, you know, which is going to affect your revenue, which is going to affect your labor, so on and so forth. So I wanted to just kind of ask Dave some of the best practices that people can do as somebody sitting in that industry over there, what he's kind of seen the trends coming up with people incorporating call centers and things like that. So first off, I want Dave to give Dave about 3 minutes to introduce himself and what Voice Teleservices does. And then we'll get into the best practices and see if you guys can maybe get some tips from him. I do want to encourage people again to ask comments in the Facebook Live comment section. We will get those and we will put them up on screen. We'll make sure that Dave can get those answered. And Dave or David, because I know I'm jumping back and forth.
Either or.
Okay.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
That's an old one, David. I'm sorry, but that was
it's relevant to this industry.
True. That is true. So we will actually to this conversation, I think. So, but we'll put up the information where you can reach out to David and Voice Teleservices and maybe get any of these questions answered after the fact. So, Dave, why don't you go ahead and tell us who you are and what you do?
Great. Well, thank you, Brian. And so Voice Teleservices is located in Portland, Maine. And I opened the company in 2005. And in 2011, we started working in the restaurant services industry as their centralized call center for restaurants who take orders over the phone, which most restaurants do. And over the past 8 to 9 years, we've seen a growing increase in companies moving their calls to a centralized call center for many reasons that we'll talk about today. In late 2019, we merged our restaurant services group with a company called Next Tech Services based in Killeen, Texas. And they are tied in with a national program that the chairman of Next Tech Services actually helped to establish. It's called the Military Spouse Employment Program. And they hire the spouses of military personnel. Their call center in Killeen, Texas is about 5 minutes from the Fort Hood base, which is the largest base in the country. And they are a critical source of jobs for the spouses of military personnel who are often deployed off the base overseas. And by providing jobs to their spouses, it doubles the income of the home. And it also provides spouses with a community. Because these spouses all share the same thing in common, which is their spouses, usually men, are out of the home and deployed somewhere, and they're kind of sitting alone by themselves. And this program, the MSEP program, has really helped to establish a community and connection between the spouses of military personnel. And they also are fantastic employees, and we can talk about that in a little bit. But that's sort of our overview. We have a call center in Portland, Maine. We have one in Killeen, and we're growing. Across the country, it will be located next to military bases across the U.S.
There we go. Sorry, that's great. And I really like the fact that you are helping out military. I grew up military, so I understand when the parent is deployed, that extra sense of community. And the military is great about that. So this helps in a couple ways. So I did want to kind of get back to some of the best practices that you're maybe seeing. Now, we were talking about just the most popular way is still phone orders. But we are seeing a change in the customer buying habits. So they are moving more towards, obviously, phone orders and ordering online just because they can't physically come in. I mean, how is this affecting some of the operators? I mean, a lot of people don't want to pay the extra money to put in phones. How does maybe partnering with a call center, how does that help you guys, how the operator out?
It helps operators out in many ways. Let's start with just, you know, the basics of answering a phone call. Many restaurant operators have single line phone systems. You know, they have one or two lines maybe coming into their shop. And if an operator at the restaurant is taking a call, taking an order, and I, as a customer, call in, I'm going to get a busy signal. And maybe I'll try again in a minute or two and maybe get another busy signal. And after the third try getting a busy signal, I may just give up and call the next pizza shop, you know, next door. With a centralized call center, you're tapping into a pool of trained representatives who have experience serving restaurant guests over the phone. And you have many, many people available at any time to answer that call. So a primary benefit to restaurant operators is their customers don't get busy signals anymore. They get routed to the next available agent, usually within 15 to 25 seconds. And that operator on our end is trained, managed, encouraged to deliver an exceptional guest experience that's consistent across reps. So you have a consistency of service quality benefit. And we also train our folks on consultative sales skills. So that person calling in to place a $20 order typically goes away with a $23 or a $25 order because we've recommended, you know, side dishes, other items, maybe desserts, drinks during the course of our conversation. And then another benefit is we know in restaurants, things are very busy and the folks that are serving the guests in front of the cash register are also answering the phones. And you've probably had this experience where you go to a restaurant, you're standing in line to pick up your order, or place your order, and the person behind the counter says, oh, can you please wait? And they pick up a call and maybe they pick up another call. And you're like, hey, I'm standing right here. Could you, give me some attention? So it allows the restaurant operator personnel to give 100% of their attention to the folks in the restaurant. And then we give 100% of our attention to the folks on the phone.
All right. So now you said a lot of people aren't kind of set up to handle that kind of influx of calls. If they have all those calls being answered, some of the ones that they might have been missing, are operators able to keep up with that? In your experience, have people not been able to keep up with the extra business? Or does it all come back to this enables them to focus 100% of their time on service?
Exactly. They can deploy those resources away from answering the phones and into fulfilling orders. So we've never had a restaurant client complain about the increase in orders coming their way. We actually had one client a couple years ago that cut over to us as their centralized call center. And we basically produced $20,000 in incremental revenue per month that they didn't know they were missing. And this was a national chain, 300 plus locations, to put that into perspective, but it was found money for them. It was just dropped to the bottom line.
All right. So then, everybody can actually keep up with the volume for the most part is what I'm hearing from you. Now, what is it? There's that one option, not option, but there's that one time where you just have way too many. Now, a lot of times I've known in the pizza business, sometimes people would, pull the phone lines if you had to for 20 minutes just to get caught up. I mean, and that's never recommended. You don't want to do that because you're missing people. You're losing them. What is the best way for people, if they have a call center, what's the best way for people to handle the high volume that they need to slow down just a little bit?
Yeah, well, we would not miss an order, and we wouldn't encourage a client to stop sending calls. What we would do is to set expectations or adjust expectations with the customer, where maybe your typical fulfillment timeline is maybe, say, 20 minutes per order, 25 minutes per order. If the operator is getting backed up, they'll communicate with us, and we can share that with the customer, saying, your order will be ready in approximately 45 minutes. We're really busy right now, but we'll get your order. It should be ready in 40 minutes, 45 minutes.
All right. So as far as we've seen how that it can actually make sure that you're not missing sales, but there's a way to adjust it if you're just getting overwhelmed for a little bit without actually losing sales. Does it track data for people as far as the call centers? Do you guys keep track of data and give them like a spreadsheet And if so, how's that even beneficial in the back end for the operator?
That's a great question, Brian, because that's another benefit of working with a centralized call center or business process outsourcer, or whatever you want to call us. The systems we use can handle multiple phone calls coming in at the same time, and they distribute them to the next available representative. Every step of the process is stored, recorded, and you can report on. So we can tell clients how many calls they're getting between 7 a.m. and 7:30 a.m. versus, you know, 4:30 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. on Monday versus, you know, Thursday versus, you know, Saturday or Sunday, what those average call lengths are, and, you know, the percentage of calls that turn into orders. So we do capture a lot of data, and that data is really helpful for us to plan our staffing schedules. But it's also useful to, you know, the store operators to know, to basically have a source that they can go to and say, hey, what's my traffic pattern been like for the past month? You know, I can tell what my busiest days are just by the orders going out, but tell me specifically, you know, how many calls and orders I'm getting on a daily basis, an hourly basis, and maybe I can use that to help, you know, manage my staffing plans at the store level.
All right. And so when most call centers start out, probably just a sign up, get a consultation, you figure out how much business you typically do, and I guess the call center would assign a certain amount of people to answer the phone. What happens if, say, you get really high, and it's hard for you guys to even keep up? I mean, is there a way to work around that, or is it just a set number of people on the phones?
Yeah, your voice was a little choppy there, but I think what you're saying is what happens when we get a surge. We have a couple of options. If we happen to get a surge of calls, we address that by having multiple layers of redundancy. So we're handling calls for many different brands, and we have many agents, and we don't have agents supporting just one brand. They're cross-trained on several brands, so that if any single brand has a surge at any given time, we sort of have a built-in contingency plan with all those cross-trained agents. And we intelligently manage that call routing based on, you know, the experience of the rep, you know, who's better at this brand versus that brand. So they would have first priority for those calls, and then they would be at a sort of a just-in-time resource to handle, you know, temporary surge in call volume. If over a period of days and weeks we see a steady increase in call volume, then we need to get out ahead of that and probably hire and train additional people to address that. Like, we're actually seeing that right now in the past month, ever since this stay-at-home order, to-go orders have gone through the roof. They've doubled in volume on a daily basis, and it started out as sort of a small increase, but we saw it coming. And we anticipated it, so we went out and we hired additional resources based on what we saw coming down the pipeline for increased call volume.
All right, you there, David?
I'm back.
All right. I don't know what happened. Sorry, everybody. But I lost you. You went all robot on that last one. So if you guys assign a certain number of people, how does that get adjusted due to the volume of business that one of your clients would be doing?
Could you repeat that question again, Brian, please?
How do you guys adjust how many people get assigned to one particular client due to the volume that they're doing? Do you kind of keep track and see if they need more people answering the phones, or maybe they can pull some people off if they don't have that many orders?
Well,
basically just repeat your last answer.
Oh, okay. So what I was trying to say is we have many agents who are trained on many brands. Some agents are only trained on two or three because they've been with us for maybe 6 months. Agents who have been with us for 6-8 years can be trained on 8 or 12 different brands. And, you know, when they walk in the door, the first call they take could be for brand A, the next call is from brand B, brand C. And so over time, we're constantly cross-training our pool of agents to handle as many brands as possible, effectively and well. And then if any given client has a peak or a surge for an hour, half an hour, or half a day, we have a just-in-time pool of agents who can field those calls. So we have built-in, you know, redundancy, basically, to cover, you know, short-term spikes. And then we look at daily, weekly call activity to plan staffing in the future and hiring as needed. And I'm not sure if I got cut off earlier, but we've seen a significant increase in to-go order volume coming in since the stay-at-home order was enacted. So obviously people are staying at home, but they're still ordering food, and you know, the to-go order volume has doubled in the month of April. And we saw that coming early, so we were able to hire and train people to get ahead of that curve, and we're still hiring and training to stay on top of that curve because the volume continues to go up.
So how when you have people at a call center, are they working on numerous different clients, or is there a whole lot of dedication to one particular brand? Do they become kind of that offshoot of that brand's employees, like Brian's Pizza? When I get somebody at a call center, our typical call center, are they handling five different pizzerias, or do they typically get, you know, just my pizzeria?
That's a great question. Let's say you came on Brian's Pizza, new client. We would ask you a lot of questions about your business, your order activity, daytime parts, weekend volume, to try to at least set an expectation for how many people we needed to train and staff to get started. And if we hired, say, new people to staff Brian's Pizza, they would only take Brian Pizza calls for a certain period of time. It could be 2 weeks, it could be 4 weeks. They need to demonstrate a mastery of your menu and their ability to provide services for Brian's Pizza. Once they graduate, we will then train them on another brand. And again, they need to demonstrate mastery of that brand's menu for a period of time. Could be 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. And then when we feel comfortable that they can accommodate another brand, they'll be trained on a third brand and a fourth brand. And we just keep going through that process.
Do they typically work on several brands at a time, or are they just do they transition from one brand to another?
There's no transition needed. They're basically assigned a skill, or they're coded in our telephony call distribution system as being eligible for calls from brand A, B, or C. And they may have brand A as their top priority. So we have a pool of 100 reps, 10 of them can handle Brian's Pizza, and that's a priority one for them. So if a Brian Pizza call comes in, it's going to go to those guys first. If they were a Brian Pizza, say skill group three or priority three, there'd be a pool of other reps handling your calls before it reached the priority three reps.
Okay.
So we don't have to, so it's all automated. It's all planning and setup and design. And so we're not like running around taking people off of one system or one client, putting them on another. It all happens.
All right. Well, that sounds good. It's nice to know that there's an actual team behind my team as well, kind of keeping us up and running. What are just some of like the generic another best practice points for people? I mean, why should people think about using a domestic call center? One thing I think is good is that nobody likes getting that call center. You can't understand them, and they can't understand you. It's very difficult. So you don't want to outsource, obviously, overseas for ordering a pizza in your backyard. What are some of the benefits of having a call center to help you in your business, though, besides the ones we've already talked about as far as like focusing 100% on your service and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, we really believe that we help clients capture more revenue, more orders than they normally would. We believe that there's probably a good percentage of folks that try to reach a local shop and they get a busy signal and may give up and try somewhere else. So I think there's revenue there to be found. Mm-hmm. Employee turnover rate in restaurants is almost as bad as it is for a typical call center. You know, we hear from our clients that it's very difficult for them to keep a hold of employees for, you know, 4 months, 5 months, a lot of seasonal employees. So with our team, with our business offering, we take that hiring and training headache off the hands of the local operators.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody happens to leave or they move out of town and we need to replace them, we do the recruiting, we do the training, and the restaurant doesn't have to worry about that. So,
That all takes time and money too, placing the ad or just, you know, putting up signs and then you have to interview them. So that's, I like that. That is one headache that's taken off your plate from a call center.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a question of what is your core competency as a pizza shop or a chain of pizza stores? You're focused on your product. Right? That's what makes you stand out first from other providers, other options out there. What's the quality of your product? What do you do differently with your product? As far as taking calls, you know, that's not necessarily a core competency of any restaurant. It's a necessity, but there is a skill to serving customers over the phone that's different than serving them in person. And that's where our core competency is. We are well experienced and skilled in knowing how to engage customers on the phone. You know, you need excellent listening skills, empathy. You need to treat each customer as a unique experience. And we also realize that when customers call us and they want to order Brian's Pizza, they think they're talking to Brian's Pizza. So we need to hold ourselves up to a very high level of accountability because we're representing your brand and we are the voice of Brian's Pizza. When somebody calls Brian's Pizza, they don't think they're talking to some call center located somewhere in the U.S.
Yeah.
They think they're calling your shop.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask too, how do most call centers integrate with people's POSs, or do you have this call center? They're obviously not calling the restaurant because then that would just be silly. How did that work?
That's a great question. So every restaurant is a bit different. Some folks have POS systems, and you know, some of the POS systems that we work with on a regular basis are Monkey Media, Olo, Patron Path, and there are others. We also can take orders over the phone and enter those orders through a restaurant's own online ordering system. We receive orders from DoorDash, Grubhub, you know, those third-party providers. The orders come to us. We enter them into the POS system, and the operator doesn't even have to worry about it. You know, there's one client right now where we went from zero DoorDash orders a day to over 600. And because we have a team like we do, we're able to respond to those orders because they need to be responded to within just a few minutes. So that would overwhelm an operator if they had to turn those around quickly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if you have one thing to tell people right now, just one thing in the industry about what's coming up, because we're all getting ready to open up again, anywhere from 25 to maybe even 50% capacity, which is not, it's only 50% at most. I mean, what's the best tip you can give them right now if this is the last thing you could say?
Well, yeah. So you're going to have limited seating capacity, and takeout and to-go is going to be a much higher percentage of your daily revenue. So think long and hard about what you can do to maximize the return from that to go and take out channel. And, a provider like us, we can help you think through those things and deploy solutions that will really help your bottom line.
All right. Do you have a favorite pizzeria or anybody that you've been to that you kind of, you like?
I'll do a shout out to the Bridgeton House of Pizza in Bridgeton, Maine.
All right. Oh, and you showed me someone else that you actually work with, I think, too.
Yeah. So this is Eddie actually our first pizza client, Eddie's and Sam's in Tampa. Fantastic. And it's Eddie and Sam's New York Pizza. And what's interesting about Eddie and Sam's New York Pizza is they import water from New York State.
Oh, yeah.
To make their pizzas, which, you know, everyone claims water is one of the most important ingredients, and the quality of the water, the characteristics of the water vary by source. And so they're making authentic New York style pizza down in Tampa, Florida.
I saw they had gelato too. So again, Guys, we appreciate everybody tuning in. Sorry for the technical glitch there. My internet sucketh, so I'm just going to put it that way. But if anybody wants to reach out to, for more information to David Sawicki or Voice Teleservices, you can reach him at the www.voiceteleservices.com, or you can contact dsawicki at voicellc.com, and they'll be happy to answer any questions you might have about maybe how to integrate call centers into your operation to help you maximize on every single phone call that you get. So again, Dave, I see there's a couple people watching. This is the last 2 seconds you can ask a question. But if not, I'm going to let Dave go. This is going to live forever on PMQ's Facebook. It's going to be on PMQ.com and PMQ.com/coronavirus so that we can always access that resource. And I did want to say that on Monday, I'm going to be doing a roundtable with several people I've spoken with before. Mike Doniker of Adunja Chat Experts, Dan Uccello of Flo's Pizzeria in Michigan, and Will Grant of Sourdough Willie's and That's Some Pizza in Bainbridge Island, Washington. We're going to have a discussion about now that everybody's reopening, how are you going to get those old customers back? How are you going to gain new customers, and the benefits and downsides of discounting and deep discounting? Do we do it or do we not? I think it's going to be a good discussion between operators. So I'm excited about that. That'll be Monday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. So, David, thank you so very much. We appreciate your time. We appreciate what you and Voice Teleservices and I guess Nextech are doing out there for the industry and for military families, too. We thank you very much.
So I appreciate the opportunity, Brian. Thank you. And it's Friday night, so I encourage everyone to support their local pizza shops. A lot of them are mom and pops, and order pizza tonight. Help them out.
Absolutely. It's a great message. So we'll see you guys on Monday. But until then, stay safe and stay sane. Thanks again, David.
Thank you, Brian. Take care.